Radio in
right here in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
You know, this is not my first National Football League rodeo, as you all know.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The hat is rakish, and I'm rakish in it. If you don't like it, have a more interesting life.
Rich Eisen. Earlier on the show, columnist Pete Thamel, two-time Super Bowl champion safety Malcolm Jenkins. Coming up, 49ers tight end George Kittle.
You know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow, have the same life that they had, same personal problems that they had.
And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We just said goodbye to Malcolm Jenkins. You hung with us in studio hour two. He was here for the ESPYs last night, and Brockman, you were there, huh?
I did.
All right, later on in this hour, I want your impressions of an ESPY night.
Fun
since,
night.
You know, it's been 20 years since I've experienced one, so that'll be later on in this program. George Kittle's going to join us about 20 minutes' time as he's making his way to the airport, back home,
back to the airport, I guess,
after flying out wherever he went. And creating a big kerfuffle because I created the kerfuffle. He's the one who tweeted out about somebody in an exit row putting multiple items in the overhead bin and how that's a terrible thing. And I said, hey, you know, first come, first serve. And apparently I'm a jerk for that. And so there you have it. George is about to join us on this program.
Rich, I've always said stuff like that is the appeal of the show, right? Because not everyone can be interested in sports all the time.
Okay.
Like my mom, for instance. But when you talk about stuff like this, that the non-sports stuff that we get into, that's stuff that everyone, you know, you can relate to this. Not everyone can relate to, you know, Tom Brady or, you know, LeBron. But, yeah, this airplane stuff, this is what brings the people together.
I'll accept that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And say hi to moms.
Well,
is moms
probably, she probably
hi,
is.
Moms. Hi, moms. So the second half of the baseball season has begun. Everyone's played half their season already, but the All-Star break's over, and Jose Altuve and the Astros already wearing out Jordan Montgomery and the Yankees. That's what happens. Doubleheader going down in Houston today. Houston's already up 2-0 on Jordan Montgomery and the Yankees, and this is
2-0.
These are big games. Because the Astros are the ones who are as close to the Yankees as anybody else. They're just four behind the New York Yankees entering the second half of the season. And I will speak for everyone in the New York Yankee fandom and organization. Nobody wants to go to Houston and spend a game 6 and 7 there at all. Rather, it be in the other direction. So these games are big. It's a big doubleheader today to start things off for Houston and the Yankees, the two best teams clearly in the American League. Tonight, the Giants and the Dodgers will have a renewal of acquaintances there to kick off the second half of the season in Major League Baseball. I can't think of a more out-of-touch story. I can't think of something that doesn't... You just mentioned moments ago about relating, how people can relate.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of a more out-of-touch story than... Scott Boras, agent of Juan Soto, who just turned down a $440 million contract offer from the Washington Nationals. And again, Scott has said that there's a lot of fugazi, you know, smoke and mirrors about all that, whatever. I don't know. I didn't read the fine print in it. But him saying essentially that Juan Soto had to fly commercial, that the Nationals didn't send him private aircraft, didn't charter a plane for him to get to the All-Star Home Run Derby. I can't think of something that fans would probably say, oh, you know, anything other than get out of here. GTFOH with that stuff. We all know in this, I guess that's what we've reached the point in the 21st century where the court of public opinion, which is what always happens when a player needs to be re-signed with an organization and a city that's fallen in love with him, right? Again, I have this piece of paper on my desk since February 28th that has now, just today on July 21st, become a relic.
It's over.
The Kyler Murray agent missive of February 28th on Kyler Murray's stationery saying, what gives, Arizona Cardinals? In a letter written to the fans to basically win the battle of public opinion in an impending contract fight. Now the court of public opinion is trying to be swayed by an agent saying, the temerity. How dare this baseball organization not fly my client private to the All-Star Home Run Derby, for which he would swing the bat for 3 hours and win $1 million, which I can tell you would cover the flight multiple times himself.
Right.
You know, you can bet on yourself. Or he's got, you make $17 million this year. Scratch the check and fly yourself.
If you're dying to fly private,
right.
Like, if you can afford it.
If you can't, you know, take your TSA pre-check.
Clear situation.
Clear, you might, yeah.
But don't you find it's weird if every other team does it? Don't you find it weird if every other team does it?
So, I mean, if the Astros do it, you know.
They had multiple players in the game.
Yeah, you know what I mean? But if one team does it, great. Then they will be able to use that in free agency, saying, why don't you come here? Come here and we'll take care of you. We fly our guys private.
I mean, yeah, it's a bad look for the org. I mean,
what's
right
bad?
After he says no to their contract, and then it's like, okay, cool. Now get your schlub your own way.
Not just schlubbing, like everyone else.
It is optics. Like, if you want to go there now, you're going to be like, these are things that I think players will take into consideration.
Was Juan Soto in seat 19D?
He probably was.
He didn't swing the bat like he was in 19D.
You know, that was a last second flight. I doubt he got first.
I could not think about a more tone deaf way to try and win the battle of public opinion. Hey, Nats fans who watched Bryce Harper leave in division. Hey, Nats fans, when my guy signed somewhere else, don't blame my guy. He had a fly commercial. Come on, man.
You know,
it doesn't resonate. It doesn't work. It becomes a pox on everybody's house. You know, certainly you make $17 million already. Whatever.
Amazing. According to Bob Nightingale, 20 minutes ago, Nats have begun fielding preliminary offers for Juan Soto. Seven teams in the mix.
They have the names?
They have the teams, yeah.
Yankees? One of them?
Yankees.
Dodgers?
Dodgers.
Red Sox?
No.
Ooh.
I don't want to give up the young guys.
You said Seattle's in, huh?
Seattle.
Okay.
San Diego.
Slam Diego.
San Francisco Giants, St. Louis Cardinals, and the New York
Metropolitan. Hey! Sandy Alderson is the Wags.
Wags.
They're ready.
Without the pole?
I don't think he parties like Wags.
Nope. Yeah. Okay.
Seven teams in the mix.
All right. Here we go.
Three NL West. Wow.
Here we go. So one of those teams is going to be the ones winding up with Juan Soto in 2 weeks?
Here, so, maybe, you know.
Wow.
If the price is right.
Red Sox aren't in. You got a problem with that?
What do we give up? I don't think we have enough to get him.
So then you got to be in it to win it.
I would much rather re-sign Xander and Rafael Devers.
Did you see the story out of the Boston Globe?
No, you had mentioned this. What happened? It made me upset.
Well, I mean, Devers confirmed it, that the initial conversations between the two sides, the Red Sox offered a comp for him in their estimation, and it was Matt Olson. And I read that, like, he's a terrific player. He is a good player.
Matt Olson, you mean?
The guy, Matt Olson.
Yeah.
Like, what, $180 million contract that the Braves bestowed upon him after they parted ways or they stopped negotiating with Freddie Freeman, or vice versa. I don't want to get sued. I don't want to get in the middle of all that.
Eight for 168.
Come on, man. That's exactly right. If I'm Rafael Devers, I'm like, look, he is a very good baseball player. And his market value is, I mean, you know, it's a heck of a contract, but that is way lower than what I'm thinking about.
I mean,
and the whole idea, though, is that if Devers hits free agency, the industry sense is that his contract would begin with a two.
Right.
Like $200 million in change.
Yeah, like seven for 200.
And so maybe
like
not the three that he's looking for, but it would definitely start with a two, not the one that Matt Olson's contract starts with. And I read that, I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, Devers is only 25.
I mean, but the sense is that he won't finish most of his contract playing third. That's why they're competent with Matt Olson.
Oh, DH.
DH first.
Yeah.
Like he'd take a more poppy role in things.
Probably smarter long-term.
In the long-term, which is why they were setting his value at that. Careful. You're not allowed to curse.
I know.
This
Red Sox ownership is just so frustrating so many levels.
They may get it done yet with Devers.
Still time. I mean, I guess.
But I read that. But,
oh, man. I don't want either one to go, Xander or Raffy, but I want to keep Raffy.
You've got to get in on Soto, no? I guess not. If you're not paying bets that money and you're comping Devers with Olson, then I guess you're they have a philosophy that they will pay, but they're not going to go on these 7, 10, 12-year contracts.
They're not going to go.
$300-500 million. They're not in that game.
No.
They proved that with bets.
Yeah, they're not in the 12-year, $350 million.
They're not in that game. Red Sox are not in that game.
Which stinks because they have lots and lots of money.
Is that your professional assessment?
Like lots of it. Like they own Liverpool, the soccer club. Like, what are we doing?
I know that. Among other writers.
They just bought the Penguins. Like, what is happening?
Do you have some baseball music for me? Do you have it the other day?
Oh, no, I can't play that.
You couldn't play that the other day?
I get flagged.
I got in trouble.
You got flagged.
I got in trouble.
Yeah, okay. Uh-oh. All right. You've got, with the second half of the season beginning.
So we have some what's more likely baseball.
Baseball, what's more likely?
For the rest of the
season. All right,
season.
Let's hit it. We'll do that, and then we'll get to George Kittle. Have a nice fun conversation with George. Go
Love
for it. Chris Brockman.
All right, let's start with
one. Hold on a minute. We got a whole
more likely.
Never say never, but never.
Okay, let's rock that back.
Yeah. I gotta do my dance, Mike. I gotta do my dance.
For music,
it's like, what's sorry, more Mike. Likely?
Re-rack. Never say never, but
thanks, Mike.
Never.
All right, guys.
Re-rack.
Let's give our friend Sean Mitchell at home the appropriate endpoint, okay? Everybody be quiet.
Hey, I'm gonna just
get the drop ready one more time.
Hold on.
Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, what do you have over there, Chris?
Right, let's start with Juan Soto, talking a lot about him. All right, what's more likely? Juan Soto ends up in New York with either team or anywhere else?
I'll go New York.
Is that just because you want it, or what do you think?
I think the Yankees won't get him. I think TJ Jefferson, when it's all said and done by the end of this month, will be a very happy camper, because if I'm the New York Metropolitans and I've already got Pete Alonso, right? And I've already got Francisco Lindor, and I've got an owner who says, I am not Bobby Axelrod. Move on. Okay? But he's got Bobby Axelrod type fundage. Okay? And he doesn't care. And he doesn't care about luxury tax. All he cares about is walking around New York City as the owner of a World Series champion, New York Metropolitans. And that's all he cares about. And Met fans who spent 25 years waiting for the Wilpons to finally open their wallets and then find out that Bernie Madoff caused a lot of problems for them, that this franchise and this fan base, to get Juan Soto in this town on top of all of that, with Scherzer and everybody, they can win this year and they can also win for years to come and win the battle of the back pages over the Yankees, because that kid comes here, I think they do it. And TJ Jefferson, am I wrong or am I right? What do you think?
Come to a Juan Soto. Come to New York. The pizza's delicious. The hot dogs are great. The nightlife is stupendous. I mean, come on. There's all types of culture and everything. He wants to be in Queens.
What is this, seven train?
Come That's on. The what's more likely.
Seven come train on. To Queens?
That's your what's more likely.
All right.
Because you know, San Diego's got to pay. Like, what rock did they kick over? They're paying Machado and they're going to pay. They paid Tatis. They're going to pay him too? Really?
Yeah, I don't know how.
Or it's just before you move on, what Carl Ravich explained the other day is send the prospects. You got them for 2 years, and then you'll let them go.
Right, like a win
He's
now
He's got
button.
Two more years.
Like a win now button.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
What else you got over there?
All right, the two favorites in the the AL for MVP, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani. What's more likely, Aaron Judge gets to 60 bombs this year, or Ohtani goes back-to-back? And the Angels missed the playoffs.
Oh, man. Judge has been terrific. He's going to have to keep up a nice pace to get to 60. Is he on pace for it right now? Let me see. Is he homered already yet today? I don't know. The Yankees have the bases loaded, actually, in the top of the third inning.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't homered.
I'll go Ohtani goes back-to-back and they miss the playoffs. That's more likely. I'll do that one.
Man, he's so good.
Ohtani?
Yeah.
Oh, it's unreal.
Understatement.
But they may have already reached the, well, we've done that once already.
How, though?
I don't know.
We're just going to be complacent and take Ohtani for granted already?
Correct. By the way, Matt Carpenter's up with the bases loaded right now. Babe Carpenter's up. What else you got over there, Chris?
His mustache. All right, bigger factor on the mound when they come back from injury, when they return, Jacob deGrom, Walker Buehler.
Did you see deGrom already had his sim start pushed back a couple days?
There's a little soreness, so they proceeded with caution.
I'll go deGrom. When's Buehler coming back?
Buehler.
Is he supposed to come back?
Buehler.
That sounded dangerous to me.
December,
I'll go with deGrom's. Like that's more likely right there.
All right, your two longest playoff droughts in Major League Baseball right now, Seattle and the Phillies. Who's more likely to end the playoff drought this year, Mariners or Phillies?
Seattle. Both are currently in playoff position.
Both are currently in.
I'll go Seattle. I'll say Seattle. 14 wins in a row, and that kid, that kid, Julio Rodriguez.
Superstar.
I know. Right? And I think they're just going to get better and stronger. I'll go with Seattle on that front.
All right, last one, guys. Last one. What's more likely? Let's look way, way ahead to October. What's more likely, a Subway Series or Dodgers-Astros World Series rematch?
Mm. Subway Series, baby.
I called this months ago. Let's go.
Subway Series.
Go.
And this time, take Bobby Valentine and his clown glasses and get rid of it. It's Buck this time. Buck for the Mets taking on the Yankees in the World Series with Juan Soto batting cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. I deserve this.
I'm taking that 2 weeks off.
By the way, I think their Subway Series is coming up shortly, as a matter of fact.
Is it?
By the way, Rich, I'm just going to have to let you know that when that does come to fruition, I'm going to have to miss a show.
Yeah, going to the games.
Says Mr. Taxes. Mr. Death of Taxes.
I think I've earned the right to miss one, and I feel like when the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series,
he actually goes.
You know? I'm going to that one.
Too cheap to buy tickets?
Am I really?
Yeah, he ain't doing it.
It's never been about cheapness.
He ain't going.
First of all, are you calling me cheap, him? I thought he was, you always.
The clam lockjaw next to me? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Come on. At least one of the tickets could be covered by selling the ping pong table from The Price is Right.
That's true. Or I could just hope that one of my friends is singing the national anthem again, but this time before, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, you want to go for free. I mean, I spend
$900 on a ticket.
Is that a humble brag?
Remember, passive aggressive Demi Lovato
name drop?
Yeah.
Is that what that was? Okay. Well done.
I'm just checking next time.
What's more likely? TJ Jefferson gets a Demi Lovato phone call or pays for the tickets himself?
Ooh, phone call.
I think so, too.
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I'll take the phone call.
Let's take a break. Next phone call is from George Kittle.
Let's go.
George Kittle, who's
19D.
Such a nice guy flying, and I'm the jerk. Coming up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least The partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Oh, Babe Carpenter hit a hot shot to first, and Gurriel snagged it, stepped on first. Double play, Yanks getting no runs.
That's too bad.
Load the bases, nobody. That's a shame, right? That's a shame.
It happens once in a while.
That's a shame. Speaking of Seinfeld, you know what today is? On this date in 1988. The New York Yankees, seeing that they had an opportunity to strengthen their lineup from the left side, decide to trade a prospect named Jay Buhner away for Ken Phelps to the Seattle Mariners. They sent Jay Buhner to Seattle for Ken Phelps. Ken Phelps, what's the word for it? Stunk on ice. And Jay Buhner, as we all know, went on to be part of a magical run for the Seattle Mariners going on in the 90s.
Remember, Ken Griffey said if something happened to him, he'd have Jay Buhner raise his kids.
And then led to one of the greatest moments in sitcom history. Hit it.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? He had 30 home runs and over 100 RBIs last year. He's got a rocket for an arm. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Well, Buhner was a good prospect, no question about it. But my baseball people love Ken Phelps' bat. They kept saying, Ken Phelps, Ken Phelps.
Larry David is George Steinbrenner visiting the Costanzas to talk about the passing of their friend, of their son, George. Frank Costanza sitting next to Estelle, and you could see as Estelle was walking through things, what happened to George with George Steinbrenner. Standing at Jerry Stiller playing Frank Costanza, stewing on the couch. You just watch him fidgeting on the couch, and he finally bursts out. What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for? I remember exactly where I was. I was in the living room of my apartment in Redding, California, where I was getting my first TV chops.
Amazing.
And I remember falling off the couch laughing hysterically.
I remember. Look,
because hated that trade.
And the baseball
Yankee fans
people
hated that trade.
Steinbrenner's defense, Ken Phelps did have a good bat in three full seasons with Seattle.
I know.
24, 27 home runs.
No. What did he do for the Yankees?
He was bad.
What did he do for the Yankees? Go for it. What do you got for me?
10 bombs in 88.
Yeah.
And then 7 bombs in 89.
Awful. Everybody knew that Jay Buhner was special, and Seattle fans enjoyed the fruits of his labor for a very long time. Very long time.
Jay Buhner, 310 career home runs.
One of the best moments in Seinfeld history. Hilarious, and it was on this date in 1988 that the Buhner for Ken Phelps trade, my baseball people said Ken Phelps trade, went down. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. So it was yesterday's program, because I follow this man on Twitter, because everything he does is amazing. I love him. I don't care who knows it. He tweeted out, he's on a flight, and somebody in his, guy next to me in the exit row put two bags in the overhead. Thoughts on this. I gave my thoughts on this. Wound up with a blogger calling me a jerk. Somebody who blogs on airplane travel in etiquette called me a jerk. So I figured, let's get him on the phone. And he joins us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line right now. The one and only. The Pro Bowl individual, all-pro individual, as well as tight end of the San Francisco 49ers, George Kittle here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, George?
Rich! My guy. I got a couple things for you real quick. One.
Yes, George.
you know, it doesn't surprise me, you being a Michigan guy and all, that's how you treat people on an airplane.
Yes. Yes,
did you say hilarious?
Yeah, kind of, sometimes. Yeah, hilarious.
I've learned a lot about you in the last 24 hours, Rich. Learned a lot.
Mr. 19D, George Kittle, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so now, walk me through. What happened on this plane flight yesterday, George? What happened?
No,
walk me through.
You know, Rich, you know, I'm all for, you know, being the first on the plane. If it's Southwest, I feel like that's way more of a scramble. Like, that's kind of a, you know,
oh, yeah,
elbows, fist fights. You know, you're trying to get to your seat, get the best seat, got to get the exit row. But, you know, I'm flying Delta, nice airline,
yep,
you know, enjoying myself. You know, I got a... this was a late plane ticket, so there was no seats available. I was in 25B, which not even an exit row, and then an exit row, just middle seat popped open, so okay, I switched to it.
Okay.
Get on the plane, and I'm on it first in my row, and, you know, obviously I'm in the middle seat, so I know I'm going to get up at least once. And
yep.
Guy right behind me, it's about 5'6", hops on, and he throws his roller bag and his backpack both in the overhead compartment, right? And sits down right next to me. And also, this guy, he's probably a great guy. Didn't talk to him all. He slept the whole way. Bless his heart. Gave me all the space I needed. So he was a great travel companion. But his feet don't even go underneath the seat in front of him. So my thought is, why would you not just put your backpack down there so then someone next to you can use the overhead compartment? It's not like he had two roller bags or anything like that. Like, I understand that. But he had a small backpack that could have fit underneath him. So I was just curious what, you know, the world's, you know, air, you know, flying etiquette was. And, you know, I like I said, I learned a lot about you yesterday.
So what was your crowd? What did your crowd source glean on that subject matter? What did the crowd say when you're crowdsourcing it?
George? I would say about 5% of them went with you. They said it's a free for all. And then about 90%, I'd say the other 5% was, I'd say 15% was asking questions.
Okay.
Like, oh, well, maybe it was his wife's and he was caring for her.
Yeah.
People read between the lines way too much on Twitter. It is what it is, black and white. He had two bags by himself, threw them up there. So he was by himself. But I'd say about 80% of Twitter is pretty angry at him, which I agree with. I'm all about, you know, mannerisms. You sit in the middle seat, you get both armrests. Like, I thought that was established. Like, I thought we were civilized people out here.
So, okay, what I said was, is that when you get on, you know, you use your space best you can. And I'll be honest with you, I would normally take my rollie and put it up, and then my backpack, I would put that under the seat in front of me. But if there was extra space, I would then throw it up there. That's what I would do.
Sure.
You
Rich,
know,
I'm with you there too.
Okay.
You're sitting there, and it's like half empty flight. Oh, for sure. Throw your stuff up there. I don't care where it goes. But it was a totally full flight minus one seat in the back. So it's just like, you know, there could be someone on there that needs to put a bag up there. Do you really need your backpack up there when, again, nothing against short people, but if your feet don't touch the ground on the seat in front of you, do you really need to not have your backpack in the seat underneath in
but
front of you?
In exit row, were you allowed to put the seat underneath, a bag in the seat in front of you on an exit row? Sometimes I'm told I can't. You know?
Tell me one flight you've been on, one airline that has done that. I mean, are you flying Spirit religiously here?
No, just usually they don't want anything on the ground in front of that exit door sometimes.
They don't want anything on the ground, but if you can stuff it underneath, then I think it's all
okay.
That's what you're supposed to do. Because, I mean, the wonderful flight attendant from Delta yesterday said, please, she said, hey, sir, can you please put your backpack on just a little bit more in case of an emergency? And I said, yes, ma'am. Thank you for asking me so much.
Is that an exact quote? Is that a verbatim transcript of the exchange?
You're right, Rich. Hey, there's one thing I will never be rude to. Well, I'm really not rude to anybody.
I know that.
Flight attendant, because they deal with a lot of people out
there. Of course.
But I'm not going to be one person they deal with. I'm going to be a nice smiley face looking right at them and listening to what they need from me.
All right, so George Kittle, so you sit down in the middle seat and boom, right arm, left arm, right on those, and you get the back part of the armrest, right? You get the back, or are you a front armrest guy? Where do you put your arms on the armrest? What do you got on that?
Well, so this is my thing. If I'm ever, because I would prefer to travel first class. That's how I like to fly. I could not yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm ever on the, like, if I'm in the aisle or if I'm even, I'm a window seat guy. I don't know. That's kind of weird for some people.
That's me.
Against the window.
Me too.
Because I like to lean my head against it. I like to sleep the whole time.
You also don't want to get up. Who wants to get up,
yeah.
George?
Yeah, I don't want, if you have to go to the bathroom, I don't want to get up two times for you in like within 5 minutes. That sounds terrible. I don't want to do that. So I sit in the window and I sleep.
Yeah.
And yeah. The person in the middle seat gets both armrests. I don't care if it's front. I don't care if it's back. Now, if they're not using them and you're in the side, you can definitely use it. But if they're using it, you got to give them the middle armrest. Like, we talked about, like, Big Cat and PFT are big on this. I'm part of my take. They've argued about this, too. It's you get both armrests. And it's, I don't know, people that don't respect that are barbarians to me.
What was our big to-do about that years ago, Chris? Did we sit
where... We actually didn't have... It wasn't a take we had. We just kind of threw up a poll.
Which is what?
And I forget what it was, but it went super viral. Over 100,000
About an armrest, right?
Yeah, about the middle seat armrest.
Did I say that you're not supposed to get both armrests if you're in the middle seat? Did I say something like that?
Rich, you're diabolical, man.
I think
you were consistent with it's just kind of...
If you get there first,
you stake your claim. Like the old West.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, you said you threw out your arm once because some guy got both armrests. Did you know that you could get hurt if you don't? You know,
hey, I've gotten in some elbow shoving matches back in my day. I definitely have.
You couldn't lose those though, right? You won those. You had to win those.
No. It usually comes down to like I had a guy. I was sitting middle seat, and a guy knocked my elbow off so he could take it.
Oh.
And I just stopped and I just looked at him.
Oh.
And I stared at him until we made eye contact. And this is, I mean, I was in college, I think, for this. And so, like, I'm not, you know, big strap, and I'm not, you know, like, no one knows who I am or like that. But I just stared at him until he looked at me. And then I just took my elbow and I just shoved it against his. And I knocked it off.
Oh.
And then he looked at me again, and he didn't touch the armrest again. I'm saying, like, you shouldn't have to establish dominance. Like I said, it's a society. We're all in this together. It just makes no sense to me how you can think that you get the aisle seat, all that leg room, and you get both armrests. Like, we're spoiled as a society, Rich, and I just don't know if I'm okay with that.
That's some Hawkeye toughness right there. That's Hawkeye toughness right there.
It's definitely not the Michigan blue and gold blood.
Excuse me, it's maize. It's maize, okay? It's not gold. It's maize. That's the official color. It's maize and blue, okay?
Whatever you say. You guys get so sensitive over there sometimes, I swear.
George Kittle here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so what's your two... This is the one you didn't respond to. By the way, we were going back and forth on Twitter all day yesterday. You didn't respond to this one, George. What's your two cents on reclining? I don't get the...
Oh, okay. So this is my take on reclining.
Yes.
I always look behind me. If there is a tall gentleman behind me, I recline it a little bit. If there is space behind me, I'll go full back. And I'm also okay with someone to lean a full back on me if they can. Like, I'm okay with that. That's fine. I got no issues with that. But, Rich, I sometimes struggle when there's, like, when a person whose feet don't touch the ground and they take up all that space, it mildly torques me just a little bit. I will say that.
But the button's there for you to use.
How about this, Rich?
Yeah.
I just think when people put it back, they should just be, like, nice about it and not just slam it back like, you know, they're just
easy
going back at it to listen to head bop in the 80s rock music.
I'll
casually slide it back so in case, you know, like someone's leaning forward, I don't hit their head or something like that.
Yeah.
I've had guys before to just throw it back at me. And I was like, geez, Louise, guy, you just gave me a concussion.
Because body weight can carry the seat back. So what's the ratio? You look back, you could sense somebody's like 6'2", so you got a 45 degree. You don't go the full.
When I say tall, I'm talking like 6'5" and above.
Oh, minimum. Okay.
Like I'm talking like a large. I'm like an athlete. If I see an athlete, I'll be respectful. But a majority of the time, I'll go full recline.
Now, is this what it's like on the Niner team plane as well? Like, is this the etiquette? Like, who sets the etiquette for the 49er team flight? Is that what it is? What do you got?
You know what? I got two things for you. Well, one, bless Jed York's heart. He's wonderful. We have a massive plane, and everybody, you either get, so it's like it has three seats on the side, four in the middle, I think, and then three on the other side.
Wow, that's a wide body. Damn.
So that's a big one. So if you're, and so they also, Richard Sherman, he got, if you're one of the starters, you get to be in one of the recliner beds too. He got us that one a couple years ago. Bless his heart.
Oh, Richard Sherman. Yeah, Sherman. That's throwing
Richard
elbows.
Sherman, he's wonderful. So thank you, Rich.
Does Trent Williams, do you recline back into his seat or what? What happens?
No, so, like I said, the starters get those. Well, they get like the beds. We get the bed seats if you're a starter, which is it's awesome. Williams does sit in front of me, but you're in the bed seat. That doesn't affect the person behind you at all.
So does that mean Trey Lance gets the bed seat now? So what happens now?
Well, that's a nice segue right there, trying to get me to talk about something like that. Wow. You know, I will say Trey was, he was back, you know, where the rookie sit. Who knows? I don't know what our quarterback room looks like right now. I know is that I'm driving into an airport, a nice Minneapolis airport, and looks really nice right now.
What about this one? Did you move into row 19 in support of Debo? Did you do that?
Wow. That's smooth. That was actually, dude, you're on one. Who writes these for you? I will say that I.
By the way, those were two items I just tried to put in the overhead with you right now.
He was
now.
Very proud of the 19 D this morning, George, before the show.
Yeah, he probably thought of that one. Yeah, who gave you that one? You're incredible. No, like I said, it was the only seat available, yes. So I just kind of clicked on it, and, you know, 19 D for 19 Debo. Wow.
That's it.
I do support Debo, though. I hope he gets all of his money. That man deserves it.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. So, all right. So you're going to the airport now. Are we big chair on the way home? We got that secure?
Oh, yeah, no, we're fine. I'm flying first class to California.
Fantastic. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay, we're good.
It's very nice to be able to do that. And I'm very happy that I'm able to do that now, because the amount of flights I've taken, not even an exit row, being 6'4", is not the most fun.
Of course not. So, and then you went out to Minnesota, right? I saw on your IG, right? You went out.
Yes.
You dropped a puck. Did you drop a puck somewhere?
I did drop a puck. You know, it's funny. So it's called the Beauty League, because there are a bunch of buttes out there, and it's a summer league for all the NHL college players that live in Minnesota or the Minneapolis area during the off season. And they're like, hey, they tried to get me on skates. I was like, I think John Lynch would kill me if I tried to do that right now. So not going to do that one. But, you know, I got to drop a puck. And they actually, you know, they didn't even let me drop it like ceremonially, like a ceremony thing where they get out of the ring. They literally had me drop the puck and game started as I dropped the puck.
Wow.
So I'm in the middle of that.
Nothing ceremonial. You literally started a competition with it.
I did. It's fun too. It's only 2 20-minute periods. It's 4-on-4. It's an absolute riot. Like I had an absolute blast out there.
Did you see the way who dropped the puck?
Micah Parsons.
Did you see that video at some point?
I did. He threw it. He strolled up. I've never dropped a puck either. And they were like, "Hey, come drop the puck." And I said, "How do you drop the puck?" Like, just give me a quick coaching tip.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good now. Let's do it.
Yeah, you kind of hold it out like you're timing a 40 with a stopwatch, right? And then you take it and you throw it down. But Micah just went out and he just kind of dropped it. He flipped it. Like, is that it?
It was like he was tossing a quarter in like a mall well that you make a wish in.
No, that's funny.
Oh, my
God. Micah, there's a lot of torque in there. He still learned how to use.
He's got a lot of torque. Hey, man, George, thanks for the time. Thanks for the content yesterday. I'm not going to lie. That was great. And so you head to training camp next week. So is this your last travel before training camp? That's
yes,
it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm heading out a little bit early to, you know, go hang out with my QBs and, you know, go see if I, you know, just go hang out in the California sun, get used to that heat a little bit. You know?
Yeah. So how was, just if you got another minute, how was Lance at the tight end university? That was the last time we spoke that he was going to come out there with you guys.
I know. My guy Trey unfortunately couldn't make it.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's actually, I told him I'm going to have to give him a hard time about that for the foreseeable future until he throws me a touchdown pass. So.
Well, that'll be week one. That'll be week one. I look forward to that.
Look at you speaking things into existence, Rich.
That's what I do for a living.
For all the Niners fans listening, I didn't say that. He did.
That's what I do for a living, George. I do that for a living.
You really do. You're one of a kind, Rich.
All right. Safe flight. Hopefully somebody behind you is only 6'4 and below.
I'm going to go 4 recline for this. I'll be asleep here in about 1 hour.
Take care of yourself, George Kittle. You're the best.
Yep, see you, fellas. Thank you for having me on.
Ladies and gentlemen, George Kittle.
What a legend.
George Kittle, passenger extraordinaire.
Fantastic.
What a legend.
Could you imagine somebody gets into an elbow shoving match over an arm rest with George Kittle?
I'm looking at
to the point where George feels compelled to match eyes with you.
I mean, what are
we doing? George is not one of those I got to match eyes with you. Like, but you imagine?
It's like,
all right. So
you have the whole seat.
Why do I feel like you couldn't put something underneath your seat in an exit row?
No,
sometimes.
Sometimes your seat. Your seat, if there's room, you can't put it in front because it can't come out into the exit row. I just did some research about that. So it can't slide out from in front of you. You can put it under your seat if there's room.
Okay.
So physically.
So let me just explain to people one more time. I get on the plane to make sure that my carry-on bag is stowed. I don't want the situation that you found yourself in, TJ, which is we're oversold. You came on too late. There's no room for you. You've got to check it. I don't want to deal with the check bag if I don't have to. So I'm first in, first up, first on. And as you can see, my family kind of doesn't like that. But I am who I am, and I only know one speed. So I come on the plane. I get on the plane, and I use the overhead bin best I can. If I have my knapsack with me as well, I am not going to throw that on in that overhead bin. I'll put it in the seat in front of me or the exit row if it does fit underneath. I'll do that. But if there's space, I'm throwing that up there. I will take two spots. Is that a problem? That's a problem. I guess I'm a jerk then. I'm a jerk flyer. Let me try one more time.
Magic eight ball.
Signs point to yes.
Jerk flyer?
Signs point to yes.
It says it is decidedly so.
Yeah, Rich.
What is this ball now?
It's a fact.
Okay. Take a break. We'll wrap up this show and get you set for who's on tomorrow. Kevin Bacon's on tomorrow. How does that sound?
Oh, yeah. Footloose.
Oh, baby. That's how we're rolling into Friday.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen. Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
We had Jerry on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Larry, and I asked him, how come Steinbrenner himself never appeared on Seinfeld? And he said Steinbrenner shot a scene, but it was so bad you cut it. Is that a true story?
True story, yeah.
What was so bad about it?
We brought him out, I think, for the last show of the 95 season. I'm not quite sure when it was, but... He flew out on his private jet to do the show and flew back that day. And okay, he did it. And then I go into editing and I'm watching the show. And oh my God, he was so awful. He was so bad. It was, you couldn't use it. It was much better from behind with my voice, you know, than actually seeing the real guy doing it.
Right. So that was a scene where he was with Costanza?
He was with Elaine in a restaurant, I think.
Okay.
And I had to call him up and tell him he was cut.
How did that go?
I called Yankee Stadium. I said, I want to talk to Mr. Steinbrenner. It's Larry David. He got on the phone. Yeah. I said, Mrs. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David calling from the Seinfeld show. Yes, yes, Larry, what is it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, come on, you can tell me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. You
But you slipped back in that voice.
Yeah, like right. I slipped right back in, right. And I said, I've been cut from the show. And I said, it's not your fault, but it's just, you know, the scene wasn't working. And that was it.
How do you take it?
He was a big boy. He took it well.
So he told you how he was going to take it.
And he actually took it.
George Steinbrenner and Lane. Wow. I would never have guessed. I would have thought that there would have to have been a Costanza George moment.
I know there was an Elaine scene. I don't know. There may have been a George scene. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
How did you enjoy playing Steinbrenner? Did you have a blast doing that?
Oh, yeah. It was fun. Yeah.
What's your favorite one where you were Steinbrenner? What was it?
I think probably something. I remember the calzones.
The calzones.
Yeah.
George had to get the calzones.
Yeah, the calzones. Yeah.
That's as great as it gets, man. Yep. On the actual anniversary, what is it? Let me do the math here. Good Lord, has it been 34 years since Jay Buhner was traded for Ken Phelps? 34 years ago today.
It's a long time.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for?
That's his reaction to Steinbrenner calling to say that their son was dead.
And then,
we're missing.
And then he leaves Jerry, the greatest voicemail ever. It's like, George is dead. Steinbrenner's here. Call me back.
That's right. I forgot about that. Fantastic. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Rogue ST Driver. You should use one. I use one. I love it because it's not just the knowledge that the science that this stick has been built with, the speed tune that Callaway has used to make the fastest, most stable driver ever with a new tungsten speed cartridge that gives you more speed on off-center hits, provides more forgiveness thanks to high MOI. It helps you knowing that and using it over and over again. You just have nothing but confidence standing over the golf ball. You feel like you're going to kill it every time. All you got to do is just make a nice, easy swing and make a good pass through it, and you know you are going to crush it. Most golfers fit into the max because of an incredible combination of distance and forgiveness. There's four different types of Rogue ST drivers built for every player. The Max D is for a dedicated draw model. If you need more shape correction, if you need something more low spin, the Max LS. If you're one of those true players, compact, low spin, the tour players love the Rogue ST Triple Diamond LS. Callaway's thought through every aspect of speed, so all you've got to do is go Rogue. Find your Rogue ST driver at callawaygolf.com/go-rogue. Kyler Murray's been paid, people. That one's done. Check that box. I'm telling you, Debo's going to get paid, and I think Lamar Jackson will get his contract to his liking. That'll happen. What about DK Metcalf? What's going on there with DKF Metcalf? What do you think?
What's going on there?
I'd pay him. I would pay him. Absolutely, I'd pay him.
I would try to trade for him.
Why would they give him up?
Why would he want to play with Drew Lock and Geno Smith?
Because they're quarterbacks that, I don't know, maybe he likes living in, wouldn't you want to live in Seattle? Everyone from Seattle basically doesn't talk about their town because they don't want you moving there.
It rains.
Traffic gets worse all the time.
Rains a lot.
I mean,
cloudy a lot. They got good coffee.
Is that your assessment of Seattle?
Yes.
Very good.
Cloudy and coffee.
Cloudy, good coffee.
Yep.
Top five receivers in the league, go.
Well, we did this last week, Rich.
Yeah.
I was in Italy.
You know what I mean?
I was in Italy buying my rakish hat when you did that.
Chris, yes. I was thinking that maybe tomorrow we take all of our picks for quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and team, and then just have Rich kind of gauge.
See what Rich thinks?
Yeah,
Rich,
and then don't tell him which one of the three of us picked them, and just have him look at the list and say.
I just pulled mine up. I was going to give you the top five. I don't have DK in the top 10. How about that?
That's crazy. You don't have DK Metcalf in the top 10.
Who do you take out?
Well, I haven't even thought about it yet.
No, if you read your list and this whole...
Let me do
your list. Do you want me to read you mine?
No.
Here's my top 10. I'll start in reverse order for TJ. No. I know he hates it when people start with number one.
Maybe he just went.
CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, AJ Brown, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jamar Chase.
You think you would take CeeDee Lamb over DK Metcalf?
Yeah, because of the player throwing him the ball.
I would take Dak Prescott over Drew Lock. So, yes.
Ooh.
I would take Tom Brady over Drew Lock. I would take Tom Brady over everybody.
But this is not about who's throwing.
Well, then how does he get numbers?
Yeah, what are we doing? Just measuring them and
Well, I mean, so you're going to, if I ask you your list of your top running backs in the league, don't do it.
Top running backs.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. But as you're saying, you've got to consider the offensive line in front of him. I mean, honestly, that
what type of offense are they
I'm
in?
Yeah. Talking about just ability, pure ability, doing what you need to get done, having that person come on, making sure that the entire week leading up to the game, okay. I am wearing the hat.
I know.
It's the hat that I was probably purchasing. Did you do it on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week?
Let's see.
Because if you did that, that's when I bought this rakish hat. So, in Italy.
Wide receivers were on Thursday last week.
I already bought the hat, so I'll take the hat off. But I'm just saying to you, if you're talking about circling that guy all week, got to make sure this guy doesn't do it. Circle that guy because he's incredibly talented. He's a beast. He's uncoverable. DK Metcalf is in your top 10. Has to be in your top 10.
Who do you take out?
I would take out A.J. Brown or CeeDee Lamb from that list.
Okay. Well,
yeah, I would.
There you go.
I would.
A lot of it has to do on the offense and who the quarterback is. There's no other way around
it. So you're Seattle, you don't pay him. You have him show up and be pissed off.
I'm Seattle, I'm tanking for the number one pick.
For what purpose?
To get the best quarterback in the draft. To get Caleb Williams or whoever comes out.
I'm looking at I'm looking at how good this kid is and why would I want to trade him. And you're looking at A.J. Brown making what he's making. Debo's about to hit it. He has to be paid. And if not, you're going to have somebody on your team that is not very happy. I would pay him. That's my two cents on DK Metcalf. You wouldn't?
But then what? You pay him and then...
And then what? What do you mean then what?
Your team stinks. You go 3-14.
Okay. Then you still have your first overall pick. Then you get the quarterback you want still too.
CJ Stroud is coming. I mean, I don't know.
I have no idea what their evaluation of him is. None. Doesn't matter. Jimmy Garoppolo's starting week one for him anyway.
Oh, is that your take? That's crazy.
By the way, week one, they're going to start Drew Lock or Geno Smith with Russ coming in with the Denver Broncos. Zero chill from the schedule makers. Zero. Putting Russ in Seattle for week one is 0.0 chill. There's not even a...
Great.
There's not
it's
even...
It's a great schedule.
Oh, my gosh.
Great job by the team, the schedule makers.
Really? You got to have DK...
Does he guarantee a week one win for Russell?
You just
Wilson?
Don't want him to pay him. Don't worry, New England's not going to go get him anyway.
That's not why I'm saying that.
Is that right? Okay.
I'm saying he doesn't want to be there.
What's the final poll results over there, Chris?
All right.
Did they tighten up at all?
Talking about Kyler Murray and, you know, he's locked in Arizona through 2028. What's he going to do? Yeah, 4% win a Super Bowl. 82% a couple of playoff
4%.
Wins. 14% NFC Championship game.
So how many saying just a couple playoff wins? That's it?
82%.
Jeez. Nobody.
A couple playoff wins.
Nobody believes in the Cardinals to actually win a Super Bowl in the next 6 years?
Seven. Through 2028.
Yeah. That's I don't know. That would be very disappointing. Arizona's got to win one.
Well, Tom Brady's still going to be playing.
Is that right?
No. He'll call that Super Bowl. Maybe.
He'll be calling the game.
Yeah, probably.
All right. Great show, everybody. I want to thank George Kittle for calling in. Good to know that he's flying back first. He was in seat 25B at first. Moved into 19D for 19 Debo.
Smart move.
Try to sneak that one in
that
there.
That Delta right? Comfort.
He saw that coming, too.
By the way, the Niners fly 3-4-3.
That's a giant plane.
That's a big plane.
That's a 767 at least, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the starters recline.
That'd be a 767.
Beds. They get beds. They get the flat beds. The starters get the flat beds.
Thanks to Richard Sherman.
Is that what defense they run? Do they run the
3-4-3?
3-4-3 defense.
Yeah. So they get the plane.
Oh, that means they're missing somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. I just meant the 3-4.
I like it. I like it. Also want to thank Malcolm Jenkins for being here in studio as well. and Pete Thamel in hour number one. Dan Wetzel of Yahoo is going to join us to talk more about the changing college football world. And Kevin Bacon on Friday's show in studio. We'll see you then.